Okay, today's daf is Nida Mem Chet. We were discussing, the Mishnah talked about 20 days or 18 days for someone who can't have children, which was then relevant that they're not Chayav and Chalitz or Yibum. And then there was a debate between Rav and Ula. Rav said we're talking about 20 full years or 18 full years, and according to Ula, we're talking about into the 18th year or into the 20th year. So then we brought a braita of Rabbi Yossi Bar Kippa, who said that it was into the 30 days into the 18th year, or 30 days into the 20th year. And then we said, so how can Rav, that Brita seems to contradict? And then we said, it's a machloket Tanaim, and Rav holds by a different Tana, who holds the following. And then we read about the Shana Ha'amura B'Kodeshim. This is about 6 lines from the bottom of yesterday's daf, Mem Zayin Amubet. So Ashana in Kodashim, Batere Choma, right? We went through all these different cases. V'chein Shebeben v'Shebebat, which we're now up to explaining what is Shebeben v'Shebebat. Kulam me'eit le'eit, which means from exactly that time, right? We said even people said that hour of the day possibly, but at least that day until 20 years later or 18 years later, late, meaning not into the year. And that holds like Rav. But that's only if we say Shebeben v'Shebebat is referring to these issues of Ailonit and Saris. So if you look now, we're starting from the 5th line. Shebeben v'Shebebat l'may hilchata. For what halacha is this Shebeben v'Shebebat in the Braita? So Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Now pay attention. Rav Gidol says in the name of Rav himself that this is what the Braita is dealing with. Actually, not our issue. L'inyan erchin. What about Erechin? If you remember in Erechin, it's from 0 to 5. If you dedicate the value of someone to the Mikdash and they're 0 to age 5, there is a certain value. From 5 to 20, another value. From 20 to, right, there were all these different issues about how old and how old they were. So the question becomes, what do we mean until the age of 5? What do we mean until the age of 20? Do we mean until the 5th year, 4 years and a day, or 4 years and a month? Or do we mean until 5 full years, until he turns 5 and a day? So, right, 5 and a day will be the next, right? And where's the cutoff, which we discussed when we learned Erechin? So, Shebeben v'Shebebat means for the Inyan Erechin, we need 5 full years, and not 4 years and a day, or 4 years and a month. Okay, so again, notice that's Rav, who by us already said that it's made late when it comes to an Ailonit and a Saris. Rav Yosef Amar Lepirkin de Yotzei Dofen. Now, you might have thought this has to do with the C-section, but no, what does it mean? For all of the Perek of Yotzei Dofen, if you paid attention, what's the name of our Perek? Yotzei Dofen. He says, for all of the issues in Yotzei Dofen, meaning including our issue. So there you see, if we say that that means that, then that will support Rav, okay? That it's made late, and that's Rav's support. Again, this was all to say, it's a machloket Tanaim, that one says, we saw Rav Yosef ben Kippa, who said that it was into the 18th year, into the 20th year, a month into it, or according to Rav, who holds by this source, which says it's the full year, okay? But that's if you hold like the way Rav Yosef explained it. So now, Amarle Abaye, mi pligat. They don't actually disagree. Mi pligat Amarle? Lo. Are you saying that they disagree, that this is a machloka between them? Lo. Hu amar chada, va'ana mina chada v'lo pluginan. Right? So he says, and as he said to Rav Yosef, are you arguing with Rav? He says, no. He said one, and I said one, and we actually don't disagree. V'hachinami mistabra, and I can further prove that we don't disagree. Now, this goes back to what I pointed out before. D'salkadatach plige, manda amar le'erchin, lo amar le'yotzei dofen. You can't possibly say that Rav, who said the issue was erchin, doesn't hold that it also applies to perek yotzei dofen, because v'hamar Rav, didn't Rav say, hilchata b'kula pirkin mei le'ed. He said in another place that the halacha in the entire perek of Yotzei Dofen is that all the ages discussed in our perek, remember we went through starting from a day all the way up to now 20 or 18, those all mei le'ed. So therefore, ela lamandam, okay, so now it must be that they both don't disagree. They're just saying, one pointed out it's for Erechin, but he also meant that it was for Yotzei. Our parrot, and the other one pointed out it's also for Yotzei Dofen, since Rav hadn't mentioned it, so he mentioned it. Ella, so now the question is obvious. Lamanda marcha le'erchin, my time alone, Marli Yotzei Dofen. So why didn't he mention Yotzei Dofen if that's what he thought? So that was Rav's opinion. Why did he only mention Erchim? So he said, Dumia Dahanach. It's not that he thought that it wasn't the case for Yotzei Dofen. He just thought that that wasn't relevant to this source particularly. Why? The list mentioned Dumia Dahanach, things that are like all the other cases. Now notice all the other cases. When it comes to the Eved Ivri, and the Steach Huzah, and the Bater Rechoma, and the Korban, all those things, what? Mahanach Dichtivam, they're all mentioned explicitly in the Torah. All the ages and the time frames are all said specifically in the Torah. Sheish Shanim, you'll be an Eved. 2 years for Shnei Tvuot, Kor Lecha. All of those mentioned in the text explicitly. Therefore, Af Hanenami Dichtivam. So when we talk about Shebeben Vabat, we must be referring to something that's mentioned explicitly in the text, which is Erchin. There it says in the Torah, from this age to that age, from that age to that age. As opposed to in Eilonit, and all these issues of Katan, Gadol, all of them are not mentioned in the Torah. And therefore, it doesn't say it. Now they say, V'ida chai, Shebeben v'Shebebat, but now there's another problem. If you're going to assume that Shebeben v'Shebebat applies to Erchin, what's the problem? What does Shebeben v'Shebebat sound like? Children. Erchin is all ages up to, you know, there's 60, there's 60 plus, right? It's a lot of ages. It goes 0 to 5, 5 to 20, 20 to 50, it's 50s. I'm a blanking. Sorry, to 60, right? 60 and above. So it's relating to all sorts of ages. So therefore, it should say Sheba Zachar v'Sheba Nekeva Mibayle. It should have been, because there's a difference, what the value of males are and what the values of females are. If you dedicate a male or a female to the Beit HaMikdash, it's going to be a different value. So therefore, it shouldn't have said Sheba Mem v'Sheba Bad. It should have said Sheba Zachar v'Sheba Nekeva Mibayle. So it doesn't make so much sense. So Amar of Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, and that's a difficulty with saying that it's all about Erchim. Now Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Halacha, Ki Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur, She'amar, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so now they say the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur. This is what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani says, meaning 18 and 20 for Saris and Ilonit are actually into the 18th year, into the 20th year, 1 month in. So it's 17 and a month, or 19 and a month. Amar Rabbi Zera, Ezke ve'esik ve'agmar l'shmatita mipume demare. I want to be zoche to go up to Eretz Yisrael and hear directly from Rabbi Lezer's mouth this halacha. Rabbi Lezer is Rabbi Lezer ben Pedat. He said, I want to go hear directly from him. Rabbi Lezer ben Pedat. I got confused with the people. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, which is Rabbi Lezer ben Pedat, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, the Tana, who said in the name of Rabbi Lezer, the Tana. Okay, so now Rabbi Zera, who's an Emora, says, I want to go up and hear this directly from Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who's the Emora. I want to hear directly from him. Ki salik, when he went up, eshkechele Rabbi Elazar, he found Rabbi Elazar, amarle, he says, amar talachak Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, says, did you really in fact say this? In other words, seeing is believing, right? I didn't really believe that you said this. Amarle, he says, yes, in fact I do. Mistabra, Amre midekule pirkin tane yom echad v'hacha lo katane shma mina mistabra kavate. He says, my best proof is if you look at all the Mishnayot, and here's a nice way to end the parak with a structural issue, which is, we talked about this yesterday, all the other Mishnayot said 3 years and a day, 9 years and a day, 12 years and a day, 13 years and a day, and this doesn't say and a day, which makes them think that this is different, and it's not full years, but it's only into the year. Hadron Alach Yotzei Dofen, moving on now to the new parak. The beginning of this parak is going to be a continuation of the previous parak, and then we're going to move on to other things. Bas siman ha-tachton, ad shelo ba'al yom. So we talked about breast development and we talked about hairs. So now they're going to talk about what if you have one without the other. So if you have a siman tachton, you have hairs, ad shelo ba'al yom, but you don't have breast development, o choletzet o mityabemet. In other words, the tachton is what's important. The shtei sarot, which makes sense in light of what we've always talked about. And only yesterday did we bring in this issue of the breast development. But really, right, it's the main thing is the tachton. So she can already do chalitza or yibum. Ba elyon, if she has breast development, ad shelo ba tachton, ad shelo ba hatachton. Right, so if you have breast development without hairs, okay, even though this is impossible, that this wouldn't happen. Okay, so obviously I Googled this, right? So what does Google say? Well, in fact, what I found is, first of all, it said, in what I happened to find, said that breast development really happens first normally, it can happen the reverse, obviously, right? We know that it goes in both directions. I just thought that maybe there was, you know, so they did say that breast development often starts first. And then they said something else, which I'll tell you, which will come up soon, about sometimes one breast develops before the other, and then eventually the other one catches up. Okay, we're going to get to, that's going to be mentioned in the Gemara. Anyway, so they claim here it's not possible that that can be, that you would have breast development without hairs. Rabbi Meir Omer, now there's a bit of a difficulty about how to read this Mishnah. So Rabbi Meir says, even though we just said a second ago, even though it can't happen, Rabbi Meir says, presumably if it does happen, that she has breast development without hairs, lo choleset v'lo mitayamet. She's not considered a gdola, which makes it sound like Rabbi Meir does think it could happen because he's giving an example of what you would do if it did happen. So we're going to have to read the Mishnah a little bit differently soon because it doesn't make so much sense. V'chachamim omrim, o choleset o mitayamet. Okay, so she can't, she could do chalitza or mitayamet. Mipnei she'amru, efshar letachton lavo ad shelo ba'elyon. This goes back to something we saw previously, which is, if we just said it can't happen, then how do we follow it, right? We basically, he says, you can do chalitza and you can do yibum. If you have breast development without hairs, what's the reason? Because we can assume, even if you don't have hairs now, you must have had hairs and they fell out. Okay, so therefore, since it's not possible, since it, right, if Charlotte, he says, if Charlotte Elyon Lavo Achelo Batachton, there must have been hair development and it just fell. You know, they fell off. So therefore, based on that, Chachamim actually say you could do Chalitza and Yibum if you have breast development because it's obvious there were hairs. Again, this doesn't really match
it's very
reality.
Circular logic too.
It's circular logic also, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara starts off and says, Afa Pisha Efshar Vahaloba. Right. You said it's Efshar, but yet it's here. So, Bala Rabbi Meir, Afal Pisha Efshar L'Rabbanan. Okay, so now they're going to say, right, we're going to assume that according to Rabbi Meir, it could happen, but according to Chachamim, it can't happen. Okay, so now the Mishnah really doesn't make sense because what does it say in the Mishnah? It says, Afal Pisha Efshar, Rabbi Meir Omer L'Cholat Elo Mityabemet. So basically, what the Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Meir thinks it could happen, that the machloket is about the mitziyut, the reality. Could it happen or could it not happen? So according to Rabbi Meir, it's possible it could happen. According to Chachamim, it's not possible, and that's why they say it must have fallen out. And therefore, we say you must be a gedola. But Rabbi Meir says it could happen, and then again, what is Rabbi Meir saying? It could happen, but it's not enough to only have breast development. You're not considered a gedola till you have two sarot, and therefore we have to wait till they grow until you could do chalitza or yibum. So now the Gemara says, if that's the case, b'litne ba'el yon, Rabbi Meir omer lo choletze v'lo mityabemet. In other words, don't even write the words afa pishe efshar. It doesn't make sense. It should say, if in the case where the elyon came first, so what, how would it split now? So Rabbi Meir says, lo choletze v'lo mityabemet, because we assume you haven't had hair development yet. And chachamim omrim, o choletze o mityabemet. And then va'ana yadana mishum di'efsharu. We'd already know, you wouldn't need to say it's because it's efshar. We'd understand. Rabbi Meir says, lo choletze v'lo mityabemet, because it's possible, and Chachamim say you can do it because it's not possible, and therefore it must have been the hairs fell, and you would have known everything, and you don't even need to write the words to write to efshar. So they say no, because ilo tana afa pishi efshar. You might have thought havamina. Now this goes back to something we've seen many times about Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. What do they argue about? The concept of chayish lemiuta. Do you remember what that is? Chayish lemiuta means we're concerned for minority of cases, right? There's people who go by rove, we always follow rove. You can assume the rove happens. And then there's Rabbi Meir who always says, well, we can often concern that maybe there's a minority of cases. So that argument would fit in perfectly into here, which then would mean that our argument has nothing to do with, is it an argument about reality? Is it possible? Is it not possible? The argument's about, are we choshesh from Utah or do we follow Rove? And that would fit perfectly. And therefore, they had to say Mishum She'efshar, because otherwise you wouldn't have realized that that was the issue. What would we have thought? Havamina, Rove Nashim, Tachton Ante Beresha, right? You would have thought it was one of those things that most women develop, getting hairs first, Umiut Elyon, and the minority develop breast development first, Ante Beresha. The Rabbi Meir l'ta'ame, Rabbi Meir then goes according to his own opinion, d'chayish l'miuta, that since we have this woman who defies the majority, still we can hold by it and assume, right, that her breast actually did develop first. We're going to assume this woman must be a yotzei min haklal, right, an exception to the rule, and therefore we're going to assume she really doesn't have any hairs, and therefore we're going to treat her like a child still, and not allow her to do chalitz or yibum. And Rabbanan, we're going to go according to their opinion that says we're not choshesh lemiuta, right? We're not concerned for minority opinions, and therefore we're going to follow Rove, and therefore this woman who has breast development, we're going to assume she must have had hair development and the hairs just fell. Vahane mile bistama. But then what would be the problem? In other words, let's say we would go with that. What would be the difference between what we actually say, whether it's based on reality or not? Well, that's because if there's a difference if their machloket is about the reality or their machloket is about halachic decision-making based on rov and mi'ut, okay? So why is that? Because if it's a reality issue, well then, okay, we'll read on and you'll see. Hanemile bistama. If you said rov and mi'ut, that would be in a stam case where we don't actually know what's going on. And we'd assume there's breast development, so according to the rabbis, there must be hair development. And according to Rabbi Meir, we have to be concerned that there isn't. But what if they checked below Eshkechan? Let's say they check. As we say Rove, right? Rove Nashim have breast development after there's hair development. But let's say we check this girl and she doesn't have any hairs. So then you might think that what? If Rabbanan is all about we follow Rove, we now have proven by checking her, Nastam means nobody checked. They just see, breast development, we can assume. Right? And Rabbi Meir would say we can't assume because there's a mute and we have to be concerned for the minority. But, and therefore again, what would happen? We'd say in a Stam case, the rabbis would say she does chalitza, she does yibum. And Rabbi Meir would say, no, we have to be concerned. Maybe there isn't hair development yet and she can't do either. So now you might have thought, that's a regular girl that we haven't checked. But if they check to see if there's hairs and they see, she in fact has no hairs. Well then, since there is a minority of cases where that's the case, what would the rabbis say? The rabbis would say, well, yeah, if we didn't check, we can assume. But since we checked, Amar modi le rabbanan le Rabbi Meir de El Yom Kadin. The rabbis would say, right? Since it's not a machloket about reality, it's a machloket about how we paskin in an unknown situation, right? Do we follow over or are we concerned for minority? In this case, maybe the rabbis would say, hey, in fact, she doesn't have hairs. Yeah, we can't let her do yibum or chalitza. Kamashmalan, right? Therefore, the Gemara comes to teach you, right, that we don't do that, okay? Kamashmalan de'iefshar. Okay, so now they're going to say here they're coming to teach you specifically. This was all. Why did the Mishnah say apa pisha iefshar? The reason is right. They wanted to teach you de'iefshar, and therefore, since it's bilti efshari, it can't possibly happen. It's a machloket about reality. Vaday ate uminter hu denatar. It must be for sure. Right, it's clear that she had hairs and they fell off, in which case you find this woman who they checked and she doesn't have hairs. We're going to assume that since she had breast development, she must have had hairs and the hairs fell. And therefore, they come to the conclusion. That's why the Mishnah had to say the words, Afa Pisha Yefshar. So now they say, now they're going to try to prove, okay, again, this we've had many times. When they want to prove is something, is it a reality, is it true or is it not true, instead of looking... Sometimes they look into scientific issues, you know, and they research it. But sometimes, or more often, they look to psukim. Can we find proof for one of these opinions in the verses in the Torah or in the Tanakh? So, Bishlam ala Rabbi Meir. Hainu dechtiv. Okay, very famous pasuk. You'll see why, because it comes up in the Haggadah. Shadayim nachonu usarech tzimeach. What do you see here? According to Rabbi Meir, what comes first? Shadayim nechonu, your breasts are ready, and then your sarech tzimeach, and then your hairs grew. So it sounds like, right, this is an image from Bnei Israel, but it's talking about as a woman's body. Ela l'rabbanan, ipcha mebaile, it should have said it the reverse according to the rabbis. It should have said, sarech tzimeach, shadayim nechonu. So, hachi kamar, how do they explain this pasuk? According to Rabbanan, kevan shadayim nechonu, biyadua shesarech tzimeach. It's not in order of how it developed. It's saying, since your breast developed, it's obvious that your hair grew also. Bishlam ala Rabbi Meir, another pasuk. Hainu Divtiv. Okay, this is a less known pasuk. They're both from Yechezkel. This is Yechezkel Kaf Gimel. Ba'asot mi Mitzrayim Dadayich leman Shdeinu Urayich. Okay, so the Mitzrayim abused, I think, your breasts is the way the pasuk reads. In order to they stimulated your breasts in order to Shdeinu Urayich. The way they understand it now, Shdeinu Urayich means to bring upon your puberty, to have it come, that by kind of pushing around on your breast, that will cause hairs to grow. So therefore, again, it sounds like first breast development, then hairs growing. Ela l'rabanan ipcha mebaile, right? According to Rabbanan, it should have said the reverse. So now they say, no, you didn't read the pasuk right, hachi kamar, here's a different way to read the pasuk. Kevan shabau dadayich biyadua shabau niurayich. In other words, they dealt with your breasts in order, right, because your body had already developed, right? Your hairs had already developed. Ibai tehema, or alternatively, you could say mashdei. Okay, notice shdei sounds like shadayim. Shdei could be to bring upon or to throw, or right, comes from the lashon to toss onto something. So here it means kind of to bring your new ring. They say shdei, maybe it means breasts, and that the whole thing is talking about breasts and has nothing to do with hairs. Right, the whole thing is talking about breasts. Israel, and this is what God was saying to them: Icharfu dadayich lo hadart bach, ishtedu dadayich nami lo hadart bach. It's basically two stages. When your breasts started to grow, you didn't return to me. Right, it's basically saying, as you developed as a nation, right, you kind of left me, and as you kept developing, you didn't come back to me. So Icharfu is first when they started to grow, and Ishtadu is when they got fully, they were fully grown, you still didn't come back to me. Okay, so that was attempts to prove from Psukim. In the end, the attempts don't work, right? Then as they could go both ways. Dekule alma mia atachton samchina. Now, according to everybody, whether you say, right, everybody agrees that the sign that we're looking for is the tachton. It's just a matter of, if you have the Elyon, can we assume there was the Tachton and just they fell? But everybody agrees that it's hairs that are the ones that are kovea. Because even Rabbi Meir, who says that women could develop, with their breasts could develop before their hairs, he says, but if your breasts developed and your hairs didn't develop, we're basically going to assume that you're not a gdola, because breast development is not enough to consider you a gdola. So now, where do we get it from, Minalam? Where do we get it from that it's the hairs that we're looking for and not the breast development? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Achein Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Kra, Ish O Isha Ki Asu Mikoch Chatot Adam. We saw this before. This is if somebody does a sin that they're Chayav Korban Chatat. Hishveh Katuv Ish Sha Le'ish. Notice it says, right, Ish O Isha, they're the same. Lechol Onashim Shebetorah. They take this pasuk as a case where you're Chayav Korban for doing an accidental sin. This, in a sin unwittingly, this means that women and men are the same when it comes to punishments, meaning the age that they, right, they're not, no, it's not going to be the exact age, but what do we need? Simanim. Now, how is it going to be similar? So, ma ish b'siman achad, af isha b'siman achad, right? Men don't have breast development, so, I mean, maybe a little bit, but not the same as women. So, we're going to say the men only have one siman, and therefore, we're going to say the women also only have one siman for saying they're now of age to get punished. Ve'ema, ohai, ki'ish. Ohai. So we could say one siman, but why did we choose the tachton over the elyon? Why did we choose hair development over breast development? It could have easily been breast development. So what do they say? No, ki'ish. It has to be really like an ish. Ma'ish tachton v'lo elyon, afisha tachton v'lo elyon. So basically we're going to say, no, it couldn't be. We only need, and you might have thought originally, you need only one siman. You don't need both to develop to say. But now they're saying, no. You need one, and you need the one that's like the ish, and that's how they came to the conclusion that it's only hair development. Again, this is something you can connect to a pasuk. Whether that's the reason or not is a whole separate question, but you can at least connect it to this pasuk. Tanya Nami Hachi, another brighter to support this. Amar Rabbi Eliezer Barabit Tzadok, Kach hayu mefreshim biYavne, v'amru. This is how they said it in Yavne. Kevan Shabbat Tachton Shuv Emashgichin Al Elyon. Right, again, they said the same thing, which is the Tachton is what's important. As soon as you have that, the Elyon isn't really significant. Tanya. Now we're going to have a whole interesting source about breast development versus hair development, which comes first, and depending on who you are and things that you do that might cause breast development to come.
Eat soy.
Okay, right. Right, all sorts of things in our generation we know bring on puberty earlier. So Rashbag Omer, Binot Krachim Tachtom in Maher Lavo. Okay, the women who live in the city dafka have hair development grow first. Mipnei sherigilot b'merchatzaot. Okay, because they go much more often to the bathhouse, and the bathhouse stimulates hair development. Benot kfarim, but the girls of the villages, el yom imeher lavo, mipnei shetochanot berechayim. The assumption was that since they do a lot of hard manual labor with their arms, that that causes breast development. I was thinking, girls who want to have breast development, you know, maybe you could take some advice from these sources about what exactly is going to bring about breast development. I'm not sure if I recommend, but these are beliefs that they had about what causes these things to grow. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, binot ashirim, binot tzad yimin mimaher lavo. Okay, here we have Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar thinks that the right side grows quicker. Why? And in wealthy women, shenishof ba'akri sotan. Okay, this, first of all, I looked this up. You can see, if you look at traditional Roman clothing, okay, they would drape, they would have these one, like, what do you call them? Not sleeveless, but one... Right, kind of like a toga thing, although the ones I saw in the picture didn't exactly look toga-like. But in the sense, it was like a strapless dress, but with one side, right? And it was dafka on the right side, okay? So that they would wear things over their right side, and the assumption was that because first of all, some people say it was a lot of jewels, and it was heavy, and it kind of rubbed against the body, and that's the nishof, it rubbed against the body, and that caused the breast to develop first. Binot aniim tzad smol mimeher lavo mipnei sheshoavot kademayim alehen. They would carry, right? They would do hard manual labor. They would carry the water on their left side, and that would also stimulate the breast development. Vibaydema mipnei shenosin achehen al gesisehen. They would carry their brothers, their siblings, on their sides, and because of that, that would also stimulate the breast development on that side.
Jugs of water.
What did I say? No, first jugs of water, then their brothers. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, so again, what we do with these sources, you know, this is probably, again, it's the rabbi's way of kind of trying to look at things and come up with conclusions about scientific facts, which in our day and age are not looked at as scientific facts. Tanu Rabbanan. Tzad smol kodem l'tzad yamin. Okay, according to this braita, the left side develops before the right. Rabbi Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua amar, me'olam lo kadam tzad smol l'tzad yamin. He says, I've never seen this happen. Okay, so this never happens. Chutz me'achat, shaita b'shchunati, shekadam tzad smol l'tzad yamin. I don't know why people were talking about this. Okay, then her left breast developed before her right. V'chazar le'etano. Now, interestingly enough, there's a bunch of... Chazar le'etano means it became strong again. Some people say what it means is the left side developed and then shrunk back to what it was, which doesn't explain it so well. Chazar le'etano. Etano would mean its strength, and you would think that would be more developed rather than less developed, but maybe.
They translated here as original state.
Yeah, I know, but it does, because, right, it doesn't make sense. That's the only way they can explain it, because it doesn't make sense, but etano doesn't exactly mean original state. So I saw a different interpretation, which is the tzad smol came first, and then chazar le'etano. Now, the problem with this one is chazar doesn't make sense, but then the right one kind of caught up and got up to par with the right. And this, by the way, like I said in the beginning of class, if you read up about it, it's very common that one breast will develop before the other, but eventually they even out, and that's basically what this is saying.
Not significantly enough that other people would observe it.
Right, that's also true. Yeah, so this must have been a unique case of this woman where it was quite obvious. But right, yeah, tough to know. Okay, anyway, strange discussions that the rabbis are having about these things. Although, on the one hand, disturbing. On the other hand, the way I like to look at these things is they're discussing, like we said this many times, the rabbis view themselves as discussing everything, and they want to get into medicine or development, and they're sitting here discussing puberty issues, which, you know, there are many people interested in seeing how do puberty issues develop. What's disturbing, maybe, I don't know if the word is disturbing, what's difficult is, to us, in a modern eye, they're talking about this in a way that doesn't make scientific sense to us in our modern eye. But in their day, this is basically like having, like what I looked up on Google this morning, and I found this guide, it was actually very nicely written, kind of toward a girl, like it even says, if you're having this, you know, speak to your parents. And it was a very nice guide to what to expect and what is within the realm of normalcy. And I think this is what they're kind of giving a guidebook, like to people in their generation to say, this happens first and not that. Now, whether they're right or wrong, almost, you know, that's the way they viewed it. So I actually think that it's almost forward thinking of the rabbis to actually get into these issues and discuss them and kind of be out there as a guidebook to people who don't have access to the internet and don't have, you know, and to be out there and discussing it and not being embarrassed almost, so to speak, to discuss it. So it's actually, I think I would look at it more from the positive perspective that they're, because here even they're not even getting into so much halakhic issues. They're really just talking about...
So they are trying to fit into a Torah, you know.
They want to get it back to, okay, so based on the way we view things, that we think that breast development always happens, you know, that breast development can't happen if there's hairs, well then, how do we view this then? If it happens this way, do we assume there were hairs or not? So yes, it does affect halakhic things, but again, that shouldn't bother us because this is their view on how it developed, and therefore from there, it's just they didn't do scientific experimentation maybe the way we would have wanted to. You know, I was just talking to someone who said she worked in a lab for many years, and she felt like their scientific experimentation methods weren't so perfect either. You know, it's not like science is perfect nowadays also, and people fudge things and make assumptions. And so, you know, even though we look with our modern eyes aren't always so perfect either. So, moving on. Tanu Rabbanan. Kol ha-nivdakot. Okay, at least you'll be happy with this one. Nivdakot al-pi nashim. When it comes to checking, does she have two sarot? Right? We use women to do this. Obviously, clearly, for its new purposes, it would be very uncomfortable for a girl to have to go to a man to check, does she have two sarot? Okay, even though nowadays, right, people do go to doctors, but you know, you wouldn't really want to go for this issue where you don't need it to be a man. Okay, now obviously, there's a bit of an issue. Women generally aren't accepted for testimony. So how could women testify about these things? Okay, so they're checked by women. V'chein haya Rabbi Elazar moser li'ishto. Okay, if somebody came to Rabbi Elazar with a question, he would say, oh, go, you know, my wife will check you. V'Rabbi Yishmael moser li'imo. Okay, he used his mother. Now we're going to continue with some different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lifnei haperek ula'achar haperek, nashim bodkot otan. We're now going to limit this a little bit. When do we check? When do we have a woman check? And can we be relying on this woman to check? Before she comes to the year before the bat mitzvah, and after she reaches age of bat mitzvah. Then we can have nashim bodkot. But toch haperek, but within the 11th year, the 12th year, from age 11 to age 12, ein nashim bodkot otan, she'ein misin sfekot al pi nashim. That's a very important age. That it will be, right, whether she's, can we let her do yibum or chalitza if she has two sarot? No, we can't rely on testimony of women because we can't allow her to be married based on testimony of women. Okay, like we can't say, oh, you can do chalitza and now go marry somebody else. No, we don't want to rely on women for that. Okay, so he limits it. We're going to get to back what the issue is exactly. They're going to further explain this brayta. In the meantime, I'm going to read through the whole brayta and then we'll get back to the explanations. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af toch haperek, nashim bodkot otam. Even during this 12th year, you can have women check. V'ne'emenet, okay, now it's confusing whether this line goes on Rabbi Yehuda or this line goes on Rabbi Shimon. V'ne'emenet isha lahachmira v'lo lahakel. So is this saying that when Rabbi Shimon says toch haperek women can do it, that's only lahachmir, meaning what would be the hachmir? Remember that she can't do miun. She can't say, oh, I don't want to be married to this guy who she was married to because her mother or brother married her off. Okay, or, right, but not lahakel, to allow her to marry. So is that Rabbi Shimon? Or is it Rabbi Yehuda who says we can't have a woman check her? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda means we can't have a woman check her lahakel, but we could lahakmir. So there's two ways of viewing it, in which case it would come out, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Shimon thinks even lahakel, even to allow her to do yibum, we could allow it. Ketzad, how does this work? Gudolahi shalotima'en, ktanahi shalotachlot, right? What does this mean? Well, it's to say, is she a gdola, so she can't do miyun anymore? Or is she a ktana, that she can't do chalitza? That's what it would mean, lahachmir v'lo lahakel. They'd be able to say she's a gdola, that we have to be machmir, she can't do miyun, but we still would consider her a ktana for the purposes of doing chalitza. That's exactly what it means, lahachmir v'lo lahakel. Aval ein emenet lomar, but according to this line, again, it's unclear whether it's Rabbi Yoshimon or Rabbi Yehuda, but whoever it is, but we can't do the reverse. We can't say she's still a ktana, she doesn't have hairs, and she could do miun. No, we can't do that. And we can't, right, we can't rely on her testimony, and we can't rely on the gdola, or the woman to say she's a gdola and therefore can do chalitza. Okay, that's already we understood. Now we're going to go back and understand this brayta about why, first of all, what are we talking about checking before the perek, and what are we talking about checking after the perek? Isn't it obvious that before the perek, her hairs, remember, what did we say? Her hairs are considered a mole. They're not considered hair development. And after the perek, there's a chazaka that women after reaching that age already have hairs. So we're not going to have to explain that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda omer lifnei haperek ulachar haperek nashim bodkin otan. Bishlama lifnei haperek, dafka we understand why they have to check her when she's younger. Why? Bishlama lifnei haperek, by bedika, you need to check. Why? De'imish takche la'achar haperek shuma ninu. Let's say she has hairs when she's 9 or when she's 10. If she has a bunch of hairs, we call those hairs a mole. Now, if she becomes 12 and those hairs are still there, they're still considered a mole. They're not considered hairs that develop from puberty. So therefore, we have to check her when she's younger so that someone can then say, oh, we saw those hairs when she was younger. Those aren't indicative of anything. But we don't understand why you would have a bedika after the perek. Bahama Rava, doesn't Rava say, Tanashi gelechlash notei inasricha bedika. Chazaka hevia simanim. We can just assume, this goes back to our rove, and right, we can assume there's a chazaka. Well, most girls have hairs by then, so you don't have to check. So what do they answer? Kiyama Rava chazaka limmiun. So now they explain, no, what Rabbi Yehuda means is that, okay, again, remember, Rava lived after Rabbi Yehuda, but the assumption is that Rava works in with the Tanaim, is that the way Rava would read this is, you have a chazaka, and that means, because you have a chazaka, that you've reached the age, that's enough to say, you cannot refuse to be married to this man, you're too old, you've missed your window. But when it comes, again, we're going l'chumra, but not l'kula, but when it comes to allow you to do chalitza, for that we have to have real proof that you actually have hairs. And for that, we rely on a woman. Why do we rely on a woman? Because you already have a chazaka, and the woman is just verifying your chazaka. That's enough. That's testimony that we can accept from a woman. But tocha perek, now we have to explain why Rabbi Yehuda said tocha perek, in that 12th year, from age 11 to age 12, wa'ein nashim bodkin otan. So what's the reason? Kasavar, tocha perek kila achara perek. He holds the tocha perek is really considered kalachar perek. It's like you're older, okay? Meaning we can rule that you're a gdola, but laachar perek deika chazaka derava samchinan anashim ubadke tocha perek deleika chazaka derava lo samchinan anashim velo badke nashim. So now they say, how does he read this? He says, look, really we can rule that she's like laachar perek. However, there's one major difference. The chazaka is only true starting from age 12 and not from under. So therefore, if they were to testify that she had hairs, a woman were to testify, since there's no chazaka, well, let's start with once there's a chazaka. We just said this. Once there's a chazaka, so we can accept the testimony because she's just verifying chazaka. But when there's no chazaka, we can't accept a woman's testimony because there's nothing supporting her. It's like she doesn't have a gav, right? She doesn't have backing. It's just her statement. That's not enough to accept a woman's testimony. Rabbi Shimon omer, af tocha perek nashim bodkot otan. Rabbi Shimon, so now we have to explain Rabbi Shimon. Why does he say even tocha perek nashim bodkot otan? So what is his reasoning? Kasavar tocha perek kilifnei perek. He views tocha perek as actually being like before, which means what? Why did you check before? We check before to check if the hairs were just a mole, and then we need to know for later. So ubaya bedika di'im mishtikche la'achra perek shumaninu. Okay, so now, what's he allowing the bedika? The bedika is not allowing her to go get married, and it's not doing anything for Mune. What's it going to do? It's just, the bedika the woman's doing is just to check, are these hairs a mole, right? Or are they there? And if they're there, they're a mole, in which case later we're going to view them as a mole. That kind we can accept woman's testimony for, because she's not actually causing any...
It's not a status.
It's not a status thing. It's not changing any halacha. What it will change is when she eventually has, we'll go back and we'll check and we'll say, oh, those are the same hairs. For that, we can accept a woman's testimony. But this is very interesting. I mean, in general, I should address this head on, which is the whole issue of not accepting women's testimony is obviously difficult for us to swallow. Why can't women be approved as witnesses? And again, you know, this was their view.
The next question is, on what basis do you also have halacha today?
On what basis do we do halacha today in terms of women's testimony?
In terms of the odds of women advising.
Okay, so women advising is different from women testifying. Testimony is... Okay, so first of all, women's testimony is still an issue in various, you know, arenas, halachic arenas. The women's testimony, we haven't yet gotten beyond. Now, there are cases where we accept women's testimony, right? Famous, you can go marry someone, a woman can get remarried if there's testimony of a woman that her husband died. Now, there's a number of things, for certain things that need also things that need lower level testimony, we can accept a woman's testimony. But it's obviously very difficult, this concept of women not being allowed to be witnesses. And then, what you were saying, remind me, you said...
The validity of
Yotzot Halacha. Ah, right. So Yotzot Halacha and Paskening, that's a different thing. That's not testimony. That's just verifying. That's kind of saying, what's the halachic decision about this, or what... In other words, when it comes to... So first of all, you know, it's that's based on knowledge. Testimony is not based on knowledge. It's, again, I think it's all interconnected. But because why did they allow women to be witnesses? Probably because they didn't trust their ability to discern things and all sorts of other things. So it is a good question why we haven't moved forward on changing the issues regarding women's testimony when we have moved forward on allowing women to make halachic decisions about things. So... anyway, even there, you know, there's the certainly the Nishma Yotzot are very careful to say we don't paskin. There's people we defer to. There are other women who are doing things that wouldn't necessarily make that same distinction. These are all issues that are important issues in our day to address and to grapple with, because they really are, you know, things have changed a lot lately, and in the last 150 or so years, and even in the last 10, 15 years, and these are important issues. Again, in the days of the Gemara, this wasn't developing at all and changing, so they say things very blanketly. Okay, so now let's finish up. So now they say, what about this line, "Emeni dishalach mirvalo lahakel, ha'man katanela, ibait emar Rabbi Yehuda, v'atoch haperek, ibait emar Rabbi Shimon, ula achar haperek." So there's two ways of reading it, as I said earlier. Either you could say it's talking about Rabbi Yehuda, and what he means is, toch haperek, even though we don't normally allow women to check, we allow it, lahachmir, to say she can't do miyun anymore, or, ibaitem Rabbi Shimon, and then he's talking, la'achar haperek. And as it's according to Rabbi Shimon, who says, after the perek, we can, and as he says, 1 second, I think he would say... Right, Ula Achra Perek, he's talking about after, and then we're going to say he doesn't hold by the Chazaka of Rava. And what he's saying is we can allow women to check, but I don't hold by this Chazaka, and therefore I'm only allowing it Lahachmir of Alo Lahakel. Okay, and then again, he wouldn't allow, if you read it that way, he wouldn't allow Yibum or Chalitza.